Hey, Anna, is space even real?
Are you having some kind of like midlife crisis? Do I think space is real?
Yeah, so this is the latest conspiracy theory sweeping the globe, sweeping the round Earth. Is space even real?
I'm going to say yes. Final
good
answer.
Good answer. No, we have gotten some posts on our Facebook page when we put up pictures of space, and the commenters say fake. Space is fake. So yikes. I'm still not quite exactly sure what they mean by that like everything up there is not real, or that the astronomers are trying to do a conspiracy that we're fooling everybody that space is not real. But just watch out. This is the newest thing that's going to be sweeping the country. Space is fake.
I'm an early adopter and a constant adopter that it is real. Put me on record. I got your back, Dean.
I'm with you on this one. I think we're going to win this argument pretty well because it's in our title. All we have to do is get people to keep looking up.
Oh, that's right. Otherwise, we're out of business if it's fake. Oh, yeah. This better be real. It better be real.
No, I'm worried. Better be. All right. Well, we'll cover it today. That's for sure. From the various home studios and Cincinnati Public Radio, I'm Dean Regas, and this is Looking Up.
And I'm Anna Heeman, and we're both from the Cincinnati Observatory. We're still recording remotely, but excited to welcome our special guest, Gary Jordan, host of NASA's Houston, We Have a Podcast. All right. So as alluded to in our intro, you got a bit of a interesting / hot button Facebook message recently. Dean, why don't you tell our listeners all about it?
Yeah. So in addition to learning that space is fake, I've also been contacted by the dreaded flat earthers. Flat earthers are on us. They want proof. They want proof that the earth is round. And it's one of those topics where I scratch my head and I shake my head. I said, didn't we figure this out? I thought somewhere we figured out that the earth was round, but no, flat earthers are back and better than ever.
And aggressive.
That's part of my joke is that this flat earth movement is sweeping the globe, man. I mean, I love it.
It's not sweeping the disc.
Nope. It's sweeping the globe.
Yeah. Here's a question. When they say that the earth is flat, do they mean it's literally a disc or like a half circle?
I'm not.
What is it supposed to look like?
Completely positive, but the website and the leading proponents of this, it shows it as a disc. So you think of it like the the United Nations symbol is the Earth from above as a flat disc with the North Pole in the center, and then the South Pole's around the edges, or Antarctica's around the edges. And so I got a very innocuous message from somebody that said, "Well, is the Earth a flat place?" And I said, "Nope." And I showed him sent a picture of the whole Earth taken from the Apollo 8 spacecraft. In 1968, astronauts went up into space, went around the moon, took this great picture of the Earth as the Earth was rising above the moon, and it became like the picture of the century. There's our little blue planet. That's everybody you know. That's where you live. And so he responded to that with, "Nice fake picture that you made. I can see how it was photoshopped."
Photoshop.
He said, "Oh yeah, I can see, you know, when you turn up the contrast, you can see how they cut and paste and photoshopped a round earth into the picture." So where I responded with, "Well, wait, so they cut and paste a round earth into the picture. Where'd they get the round earth picture from?" And then he then commenced to question my manhood, my life choices,
your career,
what went wrong in my life, what my parents did to me. Then came the personal attacks, the lies that I've been subjected to, that he's tired of people doing this to him. So
doing this to him.
Now, usually at this point I say, "Oh, why in the world did I engage? Don't engage, Dean. Don't engage.
Don't feed the trolls."
I got mad. And then in talking over with one of our coworkers, I thought, let's adopt a different tactic. Instead of ignoring, troll them back. My idea is we troll them back. We send them message after message after message, picture after picture after picture, round earth, round earth, round earth, explanations, explanations, and force them to unfriend us. That's my goal.
Because we don't block. We force them to block.
Exactly. So I have attempted to do this with great humor and success in my own mind, at least. And so I started off with a basic thing and I said, okay, I want to understand the flat earth thing, and I'm going to test it out because I want to make sure that this is right. So what I did was I wrote this out. I said, so I got this paper plate and a Sharpie, and I marked Cincinnati and I marked some other cities. And then I got a mag light holding over there to try to figure out, well, where's the sun going to shine? And how's the sun going to shine on one part of the earth, but not the other earth? And so I said, you do this too, like, because I can't figure it out. Because if the sun goes down, it goes below the plate, and then the sun's set for everybody. But I know it's not set for everybody because I can tell that. And so I said, can you explain it to me? Because I have this video that explains it better. And then I copied a kid's video on what causes day and night.
Like, it was targeted to kids, wasn't it? Like, yeah, literally, it like, to, hey, kiddos, yeah, here's...
It's like Dora the Explorer. Can you say Earth rotates? And so then, oh my God. So then I sent them another one about why all planets are round. And then I sent them another one about how the International Space Station flies overhead. Then I sent them another one about why ships, you can see the tops of ships before they go to the horizon. And then he finally wrote back and he said, oh yeah, well, you need to watch this one video about how the moon landing never happened.
Don't you love that, like, if there was a Venn diagram of, like, people who don't think the moon landing was real and flat earthers, it would just be a circle. I feel like that was naturally going to go into.
Oh, I mean, knew.
Come on, right?
I was ready for that one, too. So I ignored that. And then I said, you know, by the way, this has been really fun for me. I thanked him. I said, thank you for challenging me on this because it's made me go and really experiment and do this all over again than I did way back when. And I love doing this. And this has been a lot of fun. So I hope you're having fun with this, too. And so then I said, well, here's another video and here's another video. And then I said at the end of the night, I said, so I'll this has been great. I'm going to do this tomorrow. I'll send you four more tomorrow. I'll see you then. And then in the morning, I sent him another one, said, good morning. And here's another video. I saw your video. Now, here's a video of the 1968 Apollo 8 mission showing their footage. And then I said this. Oh, my gosh, I can't believe I did this. I said, so the Apollo 8 crew, these are fighter pilots. These are veterans. These are astronauts. These are well-trained people. These are Christians who prayed in orbit. Uh-huh. I sent them the link of the prayer. They read from Genesis in orbit that was broadcast on a NASA website. And I said, you know, with all these things, they saw the moon. They saw the earth, the whole earth, so moved that they read from the Bible, and NASA let them read from the Bible. And they're these great Christians. And so then I said, are they liars?
Gauntlet thrown down.
I would say so.
Oh, my goodness.
So, he has not responded since then. But I'm not stopping. I'm going to keep going.
Are you serious?
I'm going to keep... Oh, I'm piling them on.
I thought you were, like, going to, like, close it on out.
No.
Okay.
No. Because this is...
Nope. You're like, no. That's crazy.
And so, you know, this fella, he has sullied my honor. He called me a liar. He wrote to me. And I mean, he's not just writing to anybody. I mean, he's writing to the Cincinnati Observatory. This is the place.
Who does he think he is?
Who does he think he exactly?
And who does he think he's messing with?
Well, he's messing with the wrong guy. I'm going to tell you that right now. Because we've been doing this for 175 years. We've seen punks like this before.
No, it's definitely resorted to name calling.
So I want to get this out there right now to the world. Flat earthers, you come with us. You better bring it because we are going to bring the thunder back.
You heard it here first.
So it's so great when we have the chance to talk to folks from NASA. And today we get to talk with someone who not only works for NASA, but also talks about NASA. Gary Jordan is a public affairs officer for NASA and the host of their Houston We Have a Podcast. Thanks for being with us today, Gary.
Hey, great to be here, Dean. Thanks for having me.
So tell us a little bit about Houston We Have a Podcast.
Yeah, it started about, 3 years ago. We were looking for innovative ways to share our story. We have a small group that gets together and thinks about these sorts of things. And at the time, I had just moved to downtown Houston. So my commute went from about 15 minutes to about 45 minutes. So I started looking for ways to fill the time, found podcasts. And naturally, when I found podcasts as an option, I was looking for NASA podcasts to listen to. And found that there really weren't that many. And I was like, why aren't we in this space? So through this meeting, through this group of people, we're like, hey, why don't we start something and start talking about what we do at the Johnson Space Center? At the time, there was really only one true audio form podcast, and that was NASA in Silicon Valley. And that was our friends over at the Ames Research Center. They were talking about what they do over there. And I was like, well, I'm sure we can talk about what we do here, maybe even expand it even beyond to just general human spaceflight and whatever we have going on at the agency. And so we started it, found a lot of success from it, and here we are 3 years later. Every Friday we've posted an episode, unless there has been a hurricane or the government has been shut down, we have been posting episodes.
Wow, that's amazing. Those are good reasons to be like, look, we couldn't do a podcast, okay, on a hurricane. That's awesome. I wanted to know who thought of the name, because I think it's a really clever and fun name. So you can take credit because I won't like double check you or anything, but who thought of the name for the podcast?
Man, as much as I would love to take credit for that name, I cannot. I'll say we wrote down maybe about 30 to 40 names and started thinking about them. I was actually, I'll pass on the credit to my colleague, Kelly Humphreys, who's been with NASA for 30 years. And he said he threw that out. And what's funny, and I was like, oh, that's clever, but I don't know if that's the one we're going to go with. And after looking at it and sitting with it for a while, you know, that was like, that's the one. And there really isn't another choice. Houston, we have a podcast. Those words were spoken here in Houston at the Johnson Space Center. It's an iconic phrase. Man, why are we not having this name? So yeah, it goes to Kelly.
That's awesome.
So in the 3 years, what's your most memorable topics and guests that you've had on?
Wow. Let's see. Over the course of 3 years, we're about to post episode 158 this Friday at the time of this recording. So that's a lot to pull from. I say most recently, two of my favorite guests were Aliska Hicks and Mike Beryl. They work in our astronaut training office, and they're the ones that actually train the astronauts to use the different hygiene items in space. And they're the ones that potty train the astronauts, tell them how to use the toilet, how to fix the toilet. And we expanded that whole conversation to how to brush your teeth, how to cut your hair, everything about just living like you and I do at home, but just in space. And they were just such fun guests. They were laughing the whole time. And the conversation was something I can relate to. I'm not a scientist. I'm not an engineer. I studied marketing. So a lot of this is new. Which is why when I talk to the guest, I'm often just fascinated because I'm trying to figure a lot of it out myself. I'm asking genuine questions because I'm interested, but this was something that I could totally grasp. When I was thinking about the questions, I was going around my own house and I was like, okay, what am I doing in my daily life? And then how can I relate these questions to an astronaut, a day in the life of the astronaut on the International Space Station? But man, it's so that those just come to mind like immediately, but it wouldn't be fair to call them out and them out alone. We've had so many guests. We've had a number of different astronauts. We had the NASA administrator on a few times. We've had a lot of leaders, but we've also mixed it up. We've had doctors, medical doctors. We've had psychologists. We've had scientists. And they all have very fascinating perspectives. It's fun to bring them all on and get them all talking about their own work, because they're so incredibly passionate. I mean, you've talked to a lot of folks at NASA. They're all just so incredibly passionate about what they do.
Wow, 150 some odd episodes. I mean, that's we're at not even half that with what we've been doing. So That's awesome. So I was curious if there's anybody that you would really like either have been trying to get on the podcast and haven't been able to, or who's like your dream guest for your podcast. Have you ever thought about that, or who have you been thinking of?
Whew. Well, I'll tell you, we've been reaching out to Peggy Whitson, who used to work for NASA. She's a former NASA astronaut, and she just destroyed a bunch of NASA records. Most time in space by a NASA astronaut. She was the first female station commander, and then the first female station commander again, the first female to command twice. Wow. And then she, on top of that, I got to see her work. I got to see her when she was on station, and she blasted through all of her items that she needed to get through the day. And then they have something on station called the task list, where if you finish your items through the day, you can just go through like basically extra things you can do through the day. And she was destroying the task list too. Everyone was just amazed by how incredible she was. And I can't wait to talk to her. We're trying to get a hold of her, and she's just very busy. So, So we're looking forward to maybe talking to her next year, but fingers crossed we do that. Also, we do, on top of the podcast, we do a number of other items, but we also do something called in-flight events. We actually carve out time for the astronauts on the space station to talk with people here on the ground. It's usually only 20 minutes. We have to synchronize it with geosynchronous satellites so we get good video and audio and everything, but it's highly scheduled stuff, and we can get some really cool people. And one of my colleagues that works on the podcast with me, Alex Perryman, she's the audio engineer. She's been with us since the very beginning, since day one. She helped with one of those in-flight events with Neil deGrasse Tyson. And so she has the phone number for Neil deGrasse Tyson. She's like, Gary, you gotta call him. And I was just like, I got to think of a good time, a good reason to call him to get Neil deGrasse Tyson on there. I love his Star Talk podcast, and I listen to a lot of the things he does. He would be a great guest. I'm just looking for the right moment. But yeah, I'm one of those like high profile guests that you just can't wait to get on.
Now, Anna, who's your astronaut you really want to talk to?
He's a former astronaut, Leland Melvin. He's an astronaut that had the picture taken with his two dogs. And now I follow him on Facebook. Not like in a psycho way. I follow him on Facebook. We're Facebook people. And I just think he's like a football player. He's like this Renaissance man that I just always thought it would be cool if we got to talk to him. And Mae Jemison is my other, like, I just think she's like the coolest person ever.
Well, you got to meet Mae Jemison in person.
I did get to meet her, and I was a total moron the whole time, it was really like in it together, but I liked her a lot.
Like Leland Melvin.
Yeah, I never had the pleasure of meeting May, but I did actually a couple years ago. When was it? Maybe 2017. 2017. We hosted the Super Bowl here in Houston, and Leland Melvin, you know, former football player, came down, and he did a bunch of stuff for NASA, and I was his escort for the day. So I went over to his hotel, I picked him up, we got to drive around town, we got to chat, just the two of us, take him around, and he was just such an incredible guy. Just everything he said, he put all of his passion into his words when he was saying them. And we actually got to work with him very closely for the Demo 2 broadcast. I don't know if you saw that. Bob and Doug launching to and from the station. Leland Melvin was one of our hosts. He hosted from the Kennedy Space Center with our NASA host and our SpaceX host. And it was like this big thing. And he was same deal. He was just providing a lot of inside commentary, remembering his own time on shuttle when Bob and Doug were going through all the punches there. Just an awesome guy. I would definitely recommend having him on.
Okay, let's do this. I did message him on Facebook again, not like a weirdo and a totally like professional. I was like, hey, I have this podcast. And he's like, yes. He's like, but I am really big. Like, he's like got a lot going on. He wrote a book, of course, and he has dogs, which I think is wonderful about him. But anyway, and he was like, so we just haven't been able to like, and then our wonderful producer is working on that too. So eventually it'll happen, I'm sure. But I do think he's just an incredible person. So I'm glad to hear that he was so wonderful when you got to spend an entire day with him. That's awesome.
Boy, I'm so glad. He's been our like kind of our running guest. We mention about every couple months, and so it's good to hear that, you know, he's a real person. And you can give us his home number later on, I hope.
That's right.
if you end up calling him, it did not come from me.
Okay, it didn't come from you. That's right.
Fair enough.
So So our big topic for today on our discussion is conspiracy theories. And have you heard any really weird ones that make you shake your head? And if you come across people that, you know, say stuff is fake and things are happening, what do you think of that stuff when it comes your way?
You know, it's so interesting because when I first started at NASA, it was just rampant on all of NASA media accounts. We would post something fantastic, a cool view, a picture, and then folks would just come into the comments section and start coming up with their own ideas of how to interpret that image. And it was very interesting. Back when we were working every day at NASA, I'm working from home, as you can see now, but when we were actually in our space, I got a TV off to the side of my desk where I have 24/7 streams of video streams from the International Space Station. And so I see the station, and you can actually, we actually post it on the web too. So you can, it's just a Ustream channel that you can go to. So anyone can do this, but you could just watch the space station go around the Earth all the time, every single day. As long as there's KU, which is the video feed from the geosynchronous satellites, you could see this go over. And it's just like, you know, the conspiracy theorists that say that there's CGI or anything like that. I just feel like, no, I feel like the entire NASA budget would have to be CGI to produce that much content of just fake imagery. And then, you know, like I see that the Earth is very round, and the station going around all over the place. It's just, if you look for the right information, if it's just dependent on your sources. Internet is very interesting now, where you can find a source for anything, any of your beliefs. There's probably somewhere out there where there's a source to support that belief, but it's just finding really good information. And so I think we have a challenge at NASA to try to provide the best and most reliable information so that we get fewer of those people saying, no, the Earth is flat, or no, this is all fake or CGI. We really want to show people, like, absolutely not, that you can trust this information. This is a good source of information. You should believe it.
Well, I'm sure you've heard all of them out there in the whole wide world, the whole wide round world,
the whole flat world, and, the whole wide round.
And, well, this has been a lot of fun talking today, Gary. Really appreciate it. And great job on the podcast. You're doing NASA proud, and you're doing all astronomy and space science proud. Really awesome that you take the time to join us here today.
Thanks so much, Gary.
Hey, it was my pleasure. Thanks for having me, Dean and Anna.
So we're not in the office right now. However, nothing stops a crank file. So we've, as discussed in the chat, we're dealing with some quarantine cranks on this flat Earth topic, which is a joke, as you have dutifully addressed, Dean. But that does lead to an interesting question, and I'm not a flat earther. I'm just asking, just to be clear, who took the first picture of the round Earth that we can use to debunk the disc Earth people?
Oh, yeah, that's a good one, because, you know, astronauts, they go up in space, but they don't go up far enough to be able to see the entire Earth at one time. They can see the curve of it, but they can't quite see the whole thing. So, you know, your buddy Leland Melvin went up pretty high up in the sky, but he couldn't see the entire globe. Mm-hmm. And so the only way you can do that is if you're going out farther. So you have to send a spacecraft farther out to the moon or beyond. And so the first spacecrafts that went out to the moon were Soviet spacecrafts from the Soviet Union. They sent spacecrafts to the moon and around the moon. Mm-hmm. And so they did it before the Americans did. And so the best first picture of the globe was taken by the Zond 5 mission. So this is September 1968, as they flew around the moon, came back, and took a picture of the whole Earth at one time. And it's a pretty cool picture because it predates the Apollo 8 mission that did the same thing with humans. Mm-hmm. But the other little catch is that the Zond 5 mission had passengers.
Oh.
It had two tortoises.
Wait, what? I was thinking like people to take the picture.
Yeah. No, they had the tortoises. No, they didn't. So yeah, they put
like
two
turtles
on the rocket, and some fruit flies and various plants, because they wanted to see how they would do in a space environment.
Did they live? Did the tortoises live? I'm worried.
Yes. Okay. They did. Uh-oh. They made it. They went around the moon and back and landed safely and got out of the rocket safely and lived the rest of their tortoise lives. And on the way, they got this great picture of the entire Earth.
Took their little flipper out. Right. And they were like,
I can imagine. Like, yeah. Yeah. The Soviet trained, Soviets trained the tortoises to get out there. Yeah. No, I think it was all automatic. And I'm sorry. It's all automatic.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying, do you think they looked through a shellescope?
Oh, that's a good one.
I just thought of that in case anybody thought this was scripted.
That's pretty good. I like
just saying. All right, so the turtles are on the space shuttle.
Yes, and so I like to point out this picture to our flat earther friends that say that all of the pictures the United States took were fake. But here's one from the Soviet Union when it came out in 1968, 3 months before we got our picture of it. All of our American scientists said, yep, that is legit. Man, they beat us to this picture. And if you're a flat earther and you think, well, wait, the Soviets were in on it, too. What are you talking about? When did we and the Soviets agree on anything?
When have we ever?
Did we be like, you know, Soviet Union, we don't agree with anything you do. We believe in nothing that you do. We're fighting a war in Vietnam with you. But, you know, let's pretend that the Earth is round. We're in it together on this one. I mean, it's so ridiculous. So ridiculous.
Insane. So,
but I still like the Zond 5 mission. One of my favorites, just because I think, what are those tortoises? Man, what a story they're going to have as they flew around the moon and made it back. Right. With their shellescopes.
With their shellescopes. God, so glad they live. That's it for this episode of Looking Up. Thanks to Gary Jordan, Public Affairs Officer from NASA, for joining us. You'll find a link to the Houston We Have a Podcast on our website, wvxu.org/lookingup.
And while you're on our website, take a listen to some of past episodes with guests like Ira Flatow, William Shatner, Scott Kelly, and many others.
You can subscribe to Looking Up wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're an Apple Podcast user, we'd really appreciate a rating and comment. It helps others to find us.
We're always looking for great guests or topic ideas, so if you have one, let us know. We're on Facebook and Twitter, or drop us a note at lookingup@wvxu.org.
Our theme song and additional music is by Y, that's W-H-Y question mark, from their album Moline, courtesy of Joyful Noise Recordings and Terror Bird Media.
Looking Up is a production of Cincinnati Public Radio. Kevin Reynolds is our producer. Josh Elstro is our engineer, and Jim Nolan provides additional technical assistance.
Thanks so much for listening. I'm Anna Heeman.
And I'm Dean Regas. Keep looking up.